Welcome to The Moon in Your Mind. I'm your host, Chelsea Winter. I am on a mission to build a community of empowered individuals to stay curious in their work, their relationships, and daily lives. By interviewing experts and uniting astrology and psychology, I aim to hold the space to connect you to new wisdom, unique stories, and insightful resources for you to cultivate your best human experience. Let's get curious. If you're interested in syncing with the universe and reaching your highest potential, then I am so excited to invite you to join my membership. The membership includes a seasonal workbook with daily journal prompts based on the planets, access to my Integrating the Four Elements workbook, and exclusive discounts on natal chart readings. This is just the beginning, so I'm offering it at the lowest price ever of $4.99 per month. As the membership grows, the price will increase, so don't wait to lock it in. And right now, I'm even offering a free month just to my listeners. So you can join over on chelseawinterwellness.com for immediate access using the code MOON. I can't wait to see you over there. Today, I am so excited to have Dr. Jennifer Fried on with me. Dr. Jennifer Fried is the best-selling author of Use Your Planets Wisely and a renowned psychological astrologer and social and emotional education trainer. She has spent over 30 years consulting clients and businesses worldwide on psychological, spiritual, and educational topics. She has served as the clinical director of Pacifica Graduate Institute and is the national consultant for EMDR post-traumatic growth therapies. Dr. Jennifer Fried is a regular contributor to Goop, a 10-time author, has been interviewed for her expertise by the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Vogue, and she is the monthly psychological astrologer for the Sex with Emily podcast. Lastly, as if that's not enough, Jennifer and her partner, Rendy Friedman, created the nonprofit AHA, which is dedicated to teens, families, and educators feeling safe, seen, and celebrated. So far, they've been able to serve over 35,000 children and families. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have to correct you on a couple of intros that are a little out of date now, but that will be fun to do. One is, I'm no longer a national consultant for EMDR, although I was, but I've moved out of doing that consultancy. I think it's the most important work in the country on post-traumatic growth. And then secondly, my really good friend Emily with Sex with Emily and I still work together, but we're not doing monthly forecasts. So,
All right. Well, there you
just
go.
To
so
be
everyone,
fair and clear.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. I mean, hey, without those things, this is quite the bio. You do a lot. You're very busy.
Yes. Well, I'm trying to slow down, which is why I'm letting go of certain things, because I've, in my own astrology chart, have been going through a big Neptune transit, which has allowed me to relax a lot more and do a lot more contemplation and spiritual practice, less about being so productive. I've done a lot of productive things, which I'm proud of, but now it's much more being in the flow.
Ooh, how's that been? Does it feel natural because you have, you know, that supportive Neptune, or is it totally weird for you?
At first, coming off of years of high productivity, it was very difficult to slow down. And I reached out to all my astrologers, help, help, help. And then I actually got really into it. And my partner of 28 years says, I like you so much better now. So I think I've gotten much more comfortable being comfortable and flowing than I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is your partner a more relaxed go with the flow?
Yes. Well, it depends. Yeah. She has triple water. So she is a total flow person.
Oh, wow.
Except for Saturn and Virgo in the household. So when we're in the house and there's things that are undone or unfinished or messy, she gets totally uptight. But other than that, she's a flow.
Yeah. Wow. So I think that brings us right to your sun, moon, and rising. So I want to hear about those. And then how does that interact with your partner being triple water?
Yes. Well, my sun is in Aquarius, an air sign, as you know. My moon is in Taurus, an earth sign. And my rising is Sagittarius, a fire sign. So I have a lot of spunk and I have a lot of need to be stable, touched, fed, and luxurious. Mm-hmm. Now, on the surface, that doesn't look like it goes that great with a Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. However, this is for the advanced people. I have Neptune and Jupiter in Scorpio. So I have a lot of capacity to go deep. And basically, our entire charts are opposite. Our moons are opposite. Our Venuses are opposite. Our Mars are opposite. So in any relationship, otherness is a very, very good thing. Whether it's same-sex or heterosexual, doesn't matter. Otherness creates a lot of positive possibility.
Wow, that's incredible. That's very cool that you guys have all those planets just opposite.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so you have a lot of spunk. So how else do these signs show up in your life? The Aquarius, Taurus, Sagittarius, you know, are there any stelliums? What else is in your chart?
My Sag rising is with Saturn and Mars. So that's intense. That's the productive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as an Aquarius, I've always been concerned with community. I've always been concerned with equity. And I've always been a group leader since I was little. Taurus moon, I've always been a hedonist and love pleasure. Mm. And Sag rising, I really am bold and outspoken and stand up for the little people. And sometimes I'm too hasty and blunt.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm an Aquarius sun as well. So I'm actually Aquarius sun and moon. So I feel you with like being concerned with everyone else, being the leader. And then I have a Leo rising. So I can't shut up like talking about all the things I'm interested in.
But that's good because you've got a good platform. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah. So I guess, you know, going off of that, you know, I want to hear about your background, maybe your upbringing, if you're comfortable. And I'm always really interested in hearing about how these traits have evolved. You know, how were you as a child compared to obviously now you're a very evolved adult? How do you feel like those have changed?
That's a great question. Well, I'll give you a little story. I was raised as the youngest girl in a very, very strong, intellectual New York Jewish family, even though we lived in LA. And I had two older brothers. Well, what was really forefront in that dynamic is that I had that Sag rising with Saturn Mars in the first. And I was so competitive, even as the youngest. And I was really athletic. And in the very first few years, I was better than my brother that was a year older than me because I was just very athletic. Mm-hmm. But as I grew older and he was more powerful and he could do things better than me, I would cheat to get my way. I was fierce. So let us say I've evolved that.
Yeah.
Like now we can joke about it, but I was just so ferocious as a child and also really, this remains true, but maybe I'm more skillful at it, is I always spoke truth to power. I would just be in people's faces if they were treating people badly or they were hypocrites. I would just go nuts. So that's my upbringing, is I was around two great parents who favored self-expression, which I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
But I was also in a very sexist and homophobic world and all the things growing up in my era. And I had to fight my way through all that.
Yeah. And so I would love to, if you are willing to talk about it, how was that growing up in a homophobic world? I mean, now you're with a woman. So how was that growing up?
Well, there's two parts to that story. The one is the good news. My dad was an actor and my mom was in PR. So when I came home at 19 and said I was bisexual, my dad said, "So what? You know, lots of people in acting are." My mother was kind of horrified. She didn't understand, but we talked it through because she was a Sag with an Aquarius moon. So we had a great talk. So I was very welcomed by my parents, which I think is enormous. Not everyone gets that. Mm-hmm. But in the world, because I've always lived out loud, like I'd be walking at that time, many years ago, with a woman hand in hand and people would throw things at us or yell at us or threaten us. And there was a lot of, and still is, violence, verbal or otherwise, that goes against people that are nonconforming. whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very confident. I've always felt confident. So I would just deal with it. I'm not saying it was easy, but I, as an Aquarian, made great groups of allies and friends. So I think I've lived not in a bubble, let's say, but in a very intentional community my whole life of people that are supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. And I mean, so you were in LA at that point?
No, I moved to Santa Barbara pretty quick. So I live in Santa Barbara. I moved here when I was 18 and a half.
Okay. But still, you know, in a city, like you have access to a lot of people, you know, like I feel like that helps create the community, right? And, you know, it's a more progressive area as far as I'm aware.
Yes. I just started very young, 18 and a half, being in consciousness raising groups, women's groups, et cetera. So for me, community's always been a refuge and a harbor, and it enabled me to feel brave. I don't even like safe spaces. I don't even believe in them, but I was in brave spaces, people willing to rock the boat, people willing to stand. And I've been doing that my whole life for myself and others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that leads in perfectly to, it sounds like what your nonprofit does.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So I was in a PhD program at the time, and we needed to come up with a community project. And Rendy and I had already been leading groups for teenagers that were extremely helpful around being authentic and being allies and all the good things. And when this project idea was required, Rendy and I decided to start this nonprofit called AHA. And it was to teach young people social and emotional skills, and what we call erasism, undoing the prejudices, in a milieu of creativity and connection with all kinds of adults. So we're all learning together. Mm-hmm. So we started that back in 1999 in reaction to the Columbine massacre, saying we don't want that here. We don't want anyone to feel that alienated and self-hating and harming. And we built it not knowing what would happen. And now it's our 25th anniversary.
That's incredible.
AHASB.org. We consult now, but it has other people running it. And 75,000 young people and parents and teachers later, we've made huge impacts in people's lives, as evidenced by, I hear from alumni all the time, just the other day, Rendy was in a Pilates class because she's so super fit at 74 years old.
Wow. And
there was this new teacher, and somebody said to Rendy during the class, well, isn't your work with teens? And the teacher said, yeah, what do you do? She said, my partner and I started AHA. And the teacher started to cry, and the teacher's in her 40s, crying. And Rendy goes, what's going on? And she said, you saved my sister's life back in 2000.
Oh my God.
So this is the kind of real data that we get about our impact. So when you create a community for teens, teachers, and adults that's based on feeling brave, seen, celebrated, people really thrive.
Yeah. So is it group sessions? How do people get involved?
If people want to be involved, there's two ways. In Santa Barbara, you can be in parent groups, teacher trainings, youth groups, ahasb.org. We also have, through the years, done trainings for other organizations in our AHA method all over the country. So you would just reach out to Roxy Petty, who's now the executive director, and talk to her about either a consultation, or if you're in town, how to get involved with the groups.
That's awesome. And are there virtual options too? I mean, I guess it sounds like if you've trained someone in the area, that would be in person, but
we do have a library of videos and there'll be more. So there's the digital option. During the pandemic, we did a lot of digital work.
Yeah.
We like it better in person if possible, but there is the digital option. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's incredible. And so throughout that, I mean, obviously, it seems very obvious how the psychology half of your profession fits in there. Do you use any astrology in the AHA program or keep it kind of separate?
No, it has not been separate. All the longtime staff people have been trained by me in astrology as a self-awareness tool and a compassion tool. Mm-hmm. And they loved it. Different times throughout the 25 years in the summer or whatnot, we have an elective if you want to learn astrology. Of course, the teens were mad for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been like that. Everybody's been trained and we offer it to teens. Now I don't, others do, because they've all been trained.
Wow. That's incredible. And then, you know, I guess even backing up to even before AHA, so you were getting your PhD. When did you start learning astrology and when did you really realize you could merge them?
Well, I started at 19 with a reading by Alvina Manning, this exquisite astrologer. I knew then and there I was going to follow this. And I spent my entire 20s studying massively with all kinds of different teachers and books. When I got to be about 29, I started a group with another astrologer friend to train therapists how to use astrology. And I would say in my 30s, it all came together in terms of blending the two as an offering. Mm-hmm. And it went from there. And then when my best-selling book came out when I was 60, it really blossomed. And of course, now astrology is everywhere. So something I'd been doing forever is now so popular. Mm-hmm. I feel like the nerdy girl that like later on at the class reunion is like the cool one, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to ask, how does that feel knowing that you were, you know, you've been doing it for so long? And now I think with astrology being so popular, there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of misconstrued information.
It's just awful.
Yeah.
Here's how I feel. The luckiest person on the planet that I had two things, and I'm going to credit my parents with this too. I had a great work ethic. I never thought anything should be given to me. So I've always worked hard. Mm-hmm. And I never expected astrology to support me. So I wasn't in an exploitive relationship with astrology. Mm-hmm. So I feel like my work ethic has been my best Saturn part. And the fact that now I get to reap the rewards of all of that work as an elder in this field is just awesome. Incredible. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be happier. And there's so much cleanup work to do now with so many bozos in the field.
Yeah. Yep. I love that. Yeah. And now you just get to, I don't want to say, you know, sit back, but like you can write your books. Like I'm sure now you can really focus on what you enjoy instead of needing to grind.
Yeah. So you're a lot younger. This is what I would say. Do something so well that instead of retiring, which I don't even believe in, you get to pick and choose exactly how you want to do it when you're older. Mm-hmm. That's the position I'm in now. But, you know, took me to 60 and I wasn't even expecting it. So I think it's good to just do the good work, enjoy what you do, and do it so well that one day you get to pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. So you have your books and then do you still work with clients? How could someone work with you if they wanted to?
Well, I have an ongoing waiting list of like 700 people.
Wow.
However, every few months or like 6 months, my colleague Kalpana will say I have 10 openings, whoever gets there first. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
So I still will do readings, just not as many. And I work with a cohort of 10 people monthly that I'm coaching.
Okay. That's incredible. So what does the coaching look like?
Well, the coaching is a combination of following the transits and doing a deep dive into living a fully expressed life. What does it mean to use your gifts to contribute?
I love everything you're saying. I love it all. And so I know that, you know, I was listening to you on some other podcasts and you have your books and stuff. So, you know, I've heard a lot of focus around love and relationships. you know, in the way you speak. So would you consider that one of your like specialties? It's obviously very important to you. So,
yes.
You know,
good pickup, Chelsea.
Yeah. I'm good at figuring out the obvious.
No, that was really good. I have Sun Venus in Aquarius exact, a Kazemi or whatever Channy calls it. I love Channy Nicholas beyond belief. And it's opposite Uranus squared by Neptune and Jupiter. I am the most romantic person I've ever met. I write love poetry. I'm always like kissy, kissy, kissy to my partner and my cats and anyone that I love. Love is a major theme for me. And so you picked up on that. And I would say what I'm super good at is helping people express their love. We all have it.
And so how, I guess, what does that look like for you? How, why do you think you are so good at it? How did you develop that skill?
Well, one, my parents loved me deeply, deeply. That helps. My mother was really exaggerated about it. And let me say this, they were really not very good parents in many ways. I mean, in many, many ways. But I felt fundamentally loved. I grew up with tons of trauma and I felt loved. It's very important. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I started going to therapy from all that trauma at about 18 and kind of never stopped. I'll still go to therapy when needed because I really believe that we need to keep being accountable for our pain instead of putting it on other people. Mm-hmm. So in all that therapy, I learned to open my heart and express my love and be tender and be vulnerable and be all Brené Brown, you know. And since I could do it, anybody could do it. I came from like a really kind of emotionally cold family with a lot of exaggerated, idealized things. Mm. But I've learned to open my heart.
And so you said you've been with your partner 29 years? Is that what you said?
28. She hates it when I go too far forward.
Yeah.
But as an Aquarius, I'm always like, we're almost 29 years.
I mean, at that point, you may as well just say 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So do you feel, you know, I'm really interested in your relationship because you speak so highly of her, like even just listening to you, like you guys are so clearly in love. So how did that relationship come together? And I wonder if you had met a few years earlier, like, would it have worked out? Or did you need to find yourself first?
No. I was a total mess and causing heartbreak and being heartbroken. And No. Everything is exactly the way it needs to be.
Yep.
I wasn't mature enough to be in a long-term relationship as we have until I was. Mm-hmm. So everybody just finds the person or their path when they find it. I think we were both therapists. We both had a lot in common. We both loved swimming in the ocean. And I do believe that the divine brought us together to both love each other and work together and raise a family. Rendy came with 3 children. I helped do that. Mm-hmm. And we have 3 grandchildren now.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
But I would say, this is just my truth, but Rendy's the easiest person to love, like the easiest. Everybody loves her, and I'm not kidding. So that's really good for me because I may not be the easiest person to love.
Yeah.
Like I'm extremely dynamic and charismatic and passionate, but some people kind of can't stand me.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yep.
No, I'm just telling it like it is. But Rendy loves me. And we continue to grow together and do all kinds of personal growth stuff together, which I think makes it really interesting. We never stop learning. So we're 2 people that came together and then just kept learning.
Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful to be able to grow with someone else. I mean, I'm sure you know this better working with tons of people, but you know, I think I even see it at my age, friends and you know, they're with partners and then one evolves and one is kind of happy staying the same. And like that obviously breeds resentment, unhappiness. So it's just incredible that you guys are able to grow together And
again, you've hit, what's your Mercury in? Because you're really good at hitting right on the spot.
My Mercury is in Aquarius in the seventh house.
Very good.
Yeah.
The thing is, what I tell all couples as a couples therapist, I don't do it so much anymore, but here's it. You've got to come to the couples meeting with two things in mind. One, what am I doing that's hurting this relationship and how can I change it? What am I doing? Not the other person. And what am I willing to learn and get feedback on that's going to make me a much better partner? You got to come in with those two ideas. Mm. Most people approach it, if you changed and I didn't do anything, well, that doesn't help anyone. So the people that have great relationships are yes and yes.
Mm-hmm. That's hard though. I'm sure that's very hard for some people.
It's extremely hard. I'm not saying having a relationship is easy. Let's demystify that right now. Yeah. This is the way I would put it. It's hard enough to live with myself and like myself day after day. And then you put another person in there. That's like a lot of people to have to learn to like. No, nothing about being in a long-term relationship is easy. And I don't want people to think that it is. It takes every single day, effort, intention, and willingness, and non-defensiveness. If you want to have a good relationship, a lot of people just like to get in and get out.
Mm-hmm.
Want the good stuff, don't want the hard stuff.
Yeah. And do you find, and this is a convoluted question that there's probably not a straight answer to, but do you find that if, you know, if you're in one relationship, let's say, and you, let's say you're going to couples counseling, whatever, and you're not a yes and yes, you're a no and a no or a yes and a no, whatever. And then you, that relationship ends, you get another relationship. Do you think it's possible to just be a yes and a yes? Or do you think that if that's your, where at, you need to work on
it? If you're the no, it won't matter who you're with.
Yeah.
If you're the yes, and somebody else is a yes where you used to have a no, everything's possible with two yeses. But let's be very, very clear what yes is. Yes, I'm responsible for what occurs. Yes, I'm willing to hear what you don't like. Yes, I'm going to make this relationship a priority. The other day, Rendy and I do this exercise that I invented because of my obnoxious, playful self. Every few days, I say to her, name three things you deeply love about me. And then she'll say, and then I'll say what I love about her. And it's really fun. But I added a new one the other day because we were cranky. I said, now, tell me three things you despise about me. And we were laughing.
Yeah.
And then I said what I despise about her. And we were laughing and laughing because after 28 years, none of it's new news.
Right.
But it wasn't done with malice. It was like, yeah, pretty much. I still don't pick up the laundry from the floor. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, I know. And after so much time, it is just like, you're going to have to get used to some things, right?
But it is also healthy to express the resentment, the all the stuff, but just not in the heat of the moment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Yeah. So would that be your advice then? Hold off, you know, don't say you're in the middle of a fight and you're like, I hate XYZ. Like, wait until you're
here's the rule of thumb. Nothing negative said in the heat of the moment is helpful. Nothing.
Mm. Yep. And I've heard, like, if you are going to have a tough conversation, you know, like walking next to each other can help. You know, like, do you believe in that? Or do you think just, or, you know, tool, but
there's many tools. But yeah, I think the most important tool is have the difficult conversation with space, with agreement, and with genuine curiosity. And walking is fine. Sometimes we do it swimming. Sometimes we do it out to dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Feeling safe, I guess, right? Like that's leading with your heart, right? Like you love this person. And so you're having this disagreement or whatever, but you know, at the end of the day, you love this person, you're going to fight for them. And like, that should be evident, I would think.
Well, that may be the beginning of getting to be with somebody's agreeing what you value.
Mm.
You know, longevity, loyalty, what are your values? Working through conflict. These are the important conversations to have as you're courting, because not everybody has the same values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. And I feel like that's where astrology can come in and help. I mean, looking at someone's chart, it is a little bit of a cheat sheet. You'll get at least an idea. But do you believe in, I think I know the answer to this, but, you know, certain signs being compatible or not compatible. If you look at someone's chart and you're just like,
I don't believe in any of that. I believe this. I've seen thousands of charts. I don't see that, Cancer shouldn't be with Aquarius or none of that. I see how healthy are the people.
Mm-hmm.
What is their commitment to the work? And are they here to learn? Because every single aspect between signs can be productive.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to bring up this deck now because it's going to be Mother's Day. And I want to tell everybody that I have this cosmic parenting deck coming out soon, actually. By the time this goes on, it will be out. But that I created so people could have a conversation. Like, I think the best use of astrology is a conversation, not a typecasting.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say, your Mercury's in Aquarius, mine's in Capricorn, I imagine you see the big picture and how everything relates, and you can look kind of from the eagle point of view, whereas I'm like, get to the bottom line. What are we doing with this? How are we going to get it done? We can talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think in that example, I know for myself and my boyfriend, he is very earthy. So I don't have like any earth in my chart. And so I know that I can be very airy, very fiery, and I need him to bring me down sometimes. And so I can get like really in my head and I'll have these ideas. And then he'll be the one that's like, all right, here's what you need to do to actually make this thing happen or like come back down to earth. So I think it is all about that balance too.
Yeah. And I think it's being receptive to the coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keeping an open mind. So then in the deck, so it's called Cosmic Parenting. Is it just for parents? Would it help anyone?
No. It would help anyone.
And so there are discussion points you said are on there?
There's incredible ways to talk about the sun, moon, Venus, Mars. It's actually Cosmic Parenting is parenting yourself, understanding another person, working with your own parent of origin. If you have children, it's meant for everybody, but it's a quick way to have discussions and do some exercises.
Mm. All right. And you have another deck as well, yeah. right? So how yeah. is how are they different?
Well, the other deck, the Astrology Oracle, is really for people like yourself that want to have a tarot type deck, like to train your intuition. But in this deck, you will learn an incredible amount about astrology transits and cycles. It's all based on planetary combinations.
Mm, okay.
Let's say I pull a card about this interview and I get Saturn with Venus. And it card then tells you your options with Saturn Venus from the unskillful to the evolved. And you get to decide how you're going to participate in this interview. It's an exceptional deck.
Yeah, everyone listening, go buy that. That sounds incredible.
Yeah. No, this deck is my life's work. It's harder to promote because when people get it, then they totally love it, but they don't get it in its concept.
Right.
So I'd love feedback when you get the deck and put reviews on Amazon, because this is my opus. I worked on it for 30 years. And if you're interested in astrology, this is the very best way to understand the planets and their combinations.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds incredible. Incredible. And transits, I mean, so I am trained in astrology, but I've only been doing it, I guess, like 4 years. So, you know, compared to someone like you, I'm very new to it. But transits are by far, like, I think the hardest to understand, the hardest to explain to other people. So yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. So this deck is, you could, like, if you taught a class or you're with friends, it's so easy to actually start to understand all of these archetypes and how they fit together in what way.
Yeah. All right. Everyone listening, go out and buy it.
Thank you.
I love that. And then you have your books. So yeah. I think there's two books that are astrology based, right? But you have even more books than that.
Yeah. Some of them are more on the AHA method book. And so the three books I would like to really promote are Use Your Planets Wisely, which is for anyone that wants to dig deep into their chart. A Map to Your Soul, which is just basically how to live a fully expressed life on all cylinders with all elements. And then I love my book, Lessons from Stanley the Cat, for all you animal lovers. It's basically a primer on if a cat were to give you the best advice of life.
I love that. Yeah. And I just saw, I think in your newsletter, there was a little bit from it that I got the other day. Yeah. It seems so cute. The drawings were cute. I forget what the lesson was, but.
My friend from Sweden, Tone Gellerstad, did the drawings and they're beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, we could all learn a lot from animals, I think. So
constantly.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, we're coming up on time. So I always like to end with curiosity. So it's a huge theme on the podcast. You've already mentioned it a few times, so I know you're curious, but, you know, I want to hear your thoughts. Why is curiosity important? And what are you currently curious about?
I think curiosity is probably the most underrated, most valuable trait for anybody that wants to grow. When I'm curious, I'm open. I know I don't know everything and I can learn. It's the opposite of certainty.
Mm-hmm.
Certainty is a dead end. Curiosity is an open window. It's extremely important. So to answer your question, what am I not curious about? I'm curious about everything. I'm curious about, like, wow, she's got that nose ring on. What's that about? And, you know, I'm curious about everything. I'm curious about what's going to happen next. I'm curious who's going to be president. I'm curious about what I'm going to learn now. I'm, you know, it runs through my life in an everyday, every breath kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you get to do as many amazing things as you've done without being curious.
Yes. And I want to add one part to that. I think along with curiosity has to be the willingness to fail. So certainty means no risk, no vulnerability. Curiosity means let's try this. wow, that didn't work. Let's try this. So for me, fast failure, fast reset. One of the things I think is very problematic about a lot of the culture we're in now is everyone has to appear to know things, not be uninformed. Mm-hmm. How could we be so informed? I'm like constantly thinking, I don't know anything. So I think curiosity has to come with the humility.
Mm-hmm. Any advice for when someone fails? How to bounce back?
Yeah. Well, humor is my favorite advice because I have failed at so many things, so many times. And I think it's almost to the degree you're willing to fail, you can have success. And yet to fail feels horrible and humiliating and defeated. So I do a lot of play acting with Rendy about that. Like I'll walk around the house and make really exaggerated gestures. I'm such a loser. I'll never work again. You know, I'll just play it out like I was in a big drama until it loses its steam on my ego.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't take it too seriously. It's just an experiment. This whole thing is just an experiment. We're all just experimenting.
Yeah. And I think something to remember too with failure is like you'll always move on. You'll always wake up tomorrow. You know, like there's always something on the other side. You might not know what it is, and it might not be what you're expecting or maybe even what you want, but it's there.
Yeah. And get a lot of support for your failures.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go hiding.
That's the easiest part though, after a failure.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah. So where can everyone find you? In your books, in your decks?
Pretty easy. Just go to jenniferfried.com and you'll get there.
Perfect. Nice and simple.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for coming on. This was absolutely wonderful. I'm so honored that you spent your time with me, especially not feeling so well. But this was great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to subscribe and review if you love this episode as much as I did. Be the first to know about new episodes by following me on Instagram and TikTok at Chelsea Winter Wellness, or sign up for my newsletter to stay up to date with everything astrology and a chance to win a free reading at chelseawinterwellness.com. See you next time and stay curious.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.